Hello and welcome to another episode of the Third and King podcast. Today is Wednesday, May 15th, and we're going to quickly go over game three of the Giants-Dodgers series that just occurred, where the Giants finally were able to get a win against their longtime rival. Going to quickly go over four things I liked about the game and four things I didn't like. All right, so for things I liked, right off the bat, we're just going to get an easy one out of the way, and we're going to go with Logan Webb. Logan Webb had 32 pitches in the first inning. Looked like he was going for another struggle start against the Dodgers, similar to his first start of the year against the Dodgers. Was able to escape the first inning without allowing any damage, and then looked like he settled in pretty well after that. Ended up going six innings, allowing no runs. One thing I really liked about the outing, in addition to the results, was the approach. One thing I noticed in his first start against the Dodgers was the Dodgers were sitting changeup against Logan Webb, who primarily features his changeup. He throws that pitch more than any other pitch in his mix, and they sat changeup. They're a good hitting team. They can do that, and they were able to take advantage of it. And so what I noticed tonight was a lot more sinker slider, especially against the right-handed hitters, and then featuring the changeup mostly against left-handed hitters. There were some changeup mixed in against the righties, but for the most part, he was going sinker slider against the righties and then using the changeup against Muncy and other left-handed hitters. I think that was a really good change of approach to get the Dodgers off of his changeup. I haven't really liked his slider since 2021. I think part of that's because his changeup's been so good that he's just relied on that, doesn't throw the slider a whole lot, and then because he doesn't throw it a whole lot, doesn't have a great feel for it. It's kind of this vicious cycle where doesn't have a great feel for it because he doesn't throw it that much, and he doesn't throw it that much because he doesn't have a great feel for it, on and on it goes. I didn't think the individual performance of the pitch was particularly great in the game tonight, but it was just able to get the hitters to look for something different, give him a different look. It was enough to make his sinker play up a little bit, and the overall performance was effective because of that, even if the individual pitch performance wasn't spectacular. And I think he needed that. I think the slider actually looked better as the game progressed, as he was throwing it more. Maybe a hat tip to the return of Kurt Casale, who was catching the Giants in 2021 when I think his sweeper looked, or his slider looked pretty good. And maybe he saw something and helped Logan Webb bring that pitch back into his mix to help usher that really nice performance. All right, next up, we're going to go again with a real easy one. We're going to just go with the outfielders, and we're going to triple up this time. Yaz had the two-run homer. Great to see that. Knocked in his friend Kurt Casale. Luis Matos, an incredible home run saving catch. I still think he's better suited for a corner outfield position, but that's why I'm sitting on my couch. He also had an RBI single late in the game, and I love his bat, so love to see that. Hopefully that continues. And then Elliot Ramos, talked about him last time, but he just continues to play really good baseball. Had an RBI double tonight, gave them the third run. Looks really good. Smoked that ball like 108 miles an hour into the left center field gap for a double. You can see the tools. If he can really put it together, that's an exciting player to have. All right, next we're going to quickly talk about the seventh inning bullpen combo between Sean Gelly and Eric Miller. Sean Gelly has looked really good ever since he's become a featured bullpen option instead of a long reliever, swingman, starter. I think now that they're asking him to just go in shorter spurts of an inning, maybe two at a time, his sinker's playing up. It's at about 96 now, which is pretty common for someone transitioning from a starter or long relief role to a shorter relief role where you see an uptick in velocity. That sinker's playing up, and then I think he calls it a knuckle curve, his breaking ball, whatever it's called, is playing really well off of that, and he just looks really good. I thought before he gave up the hit to Mookie Betts, he was only at around 10 pitches, and I immediately thought if he gets Betts out here, the Giants are going to ask him to go back out for the eighth inning. And I was already starting to dread that before it happened. We'll never know if that was going to happen. But instead, he gives up a hit to Mookie Betts. And then they call on Eric Miller to face Shohei Ohtani. And Miller's stuff is just electric. I think if he can get a little bit more command, that he's really going to turn into one of the reliable late inning options. That is a big if. Hopefully he can do that. Hopefully he can turn into one of those options, because when he's on, he just looks fantastic. He looks incredible. And then lastly, the way that I look at this, I think the Giants only needed one win in this series. It's one of those things where, wow, that's real low bar not to get swept at home. But considering, you know, if we're not looking at this as at a micro level, but a little bit more macro, and we're looking at this as a homestand and maybe not as an individual game or a series, the Giants took 2 of 3 from the Reds at home. Now they won 1 of 3 from the Dodgers at home. So now they're 3-3 at home on this homestand with a day off at home. And then the Rockies come into town. I really like their chances of having a winning homestand. And so if we just kind of take it looking at it in bigger chunks like that, if you can win most of your homestands, regardless of how you get there, I think your record's going to end up looking pretty good. They still have to win those games against the Rockies, but I think that they're in pretty good position to do that. All right, so let's move to things I didn't like. We haven't seen Marco Luciano really since he got called up. I know he was one of those late substitutions in the game that got away from them last night. I'm not really sure what the point of calling him up is if he's not going to play. I'm of the mindset where he needs to play every day to get the reps. It's not like Casey Schmidt is lighting the world on fire right now, so the bar isn't super high for him to clear. Even if the jury's out on his defense, you'd think he could start the game at shortstop, and then if they get the lead, substitute Schmidt in to shore up the defense later in the game. So I'm not really sure what's going on there, so I don't know if I really like that, but who knows what's going on behind the scenes. Okay, next, I didn't like going to Tyler Rogers in the 8th inning. After the game, we learned that Ryan Walker was unavailable with some back tightness, so maybe this was just related to that. I like Tyler Rogers. I think part of his success is because he's so unique. The fewer times he's faced a hitter, the less successful they're going to be because he's so unique and it's such a different look. The 3 batters he was scheduled to face in that inning were longtime Dodgers of Freddie Freeman, Will Smith, and Max Muncy, who have seen him a lot. I think that because Tyler Rogers can be so good at times, there's a temptation to make him the 8th inning guy. He's the 8th inning guy. It's the 8th inning. Let's go to Tyler Rogers. I don't think I really like that approach, but again, maybe it had less to do with that and more of who was and wasn't available out of the bullpen tonight. Ended up working out okay. No harm, no foul. But I don't think I liked that, at least on the surface. Next thing I didn't like, I don't like the Dodgers. I don't like them. They're not fun. We'll just leave it at that. And then last but not least, I don't like the umpiring. Specifically tonight, the home plate umpiring left something to be desired. And in this case, it actually benefited the Giants or hurt the Dodgers. But I still don't like seeing that. We have the technology to do something about it, and they just won't do it. Sometimes it's hard to watch. You know, that extra run that the Giants got in the 8th inning, Lamont Wade Jr. basically struck out looking. He knew it. He started to walk back to the dugout, and the umpire awarded him first base because he said it was ball 4. You don't want that to ever happen on either side of the ball. People say it tends to even out. I don't even like that as an explanation. Why not just get it right? We can do it in the year 2024. Let's just get it right. The challenges on safe and out calls and things like that barely add any time to the game. We've shaved off a ton of time with the pitch clock. If we add a couple minutes every few games to maybe implement the challenge system on balls and strikes like they do in the minor leagues, which apparently takes 10 seconds, I think we should do it if it means getting the calls right. Okay, that's going to do it. Thanks again. Hopefully this quick format is palatable, and maybe we'll think about getting back to our long form episode soon. Thanks.